Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 20th, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 80, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Robin B. on the 12 Steps, Amanda H. will read the 12 Traditions, Janice P.M. will read the text, Anne S.C.H. will read the closing, Margaret D. is our backup reader. Chanel T. will greet our newcomers and ask for available sponsors, and Leslie M. will share announcements with us today. I have the reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting and this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Those numbers are for listening to the recordings. Yesterday's 10 a.m. reference ID number is 22,179,22179. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,185,22185. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own voluntary contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Robin B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Robin?
This is Robin B. This is Robin B. in Ohio, compulsive overeater, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin B. from Ohio. I will now ask Amanda H. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Amanda H., compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Our 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants that do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be solely self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much. Amanda H. from Ontario. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 80. Paragraph 2. I will now ask Janice P.M. to begin reading and sharing for us. Thank you, Janice.
And good morning to you, Jody, and everyone that's listening. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Well, this brings to mind a story about one of our friends. While drinking, he accepted a sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival, giving him no receipt for it. He subsequently denied having received the money and used the incident as a basis for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying the reputation of another. In fact, his rival was ruined. Well, this is some story. I'm not going to tell you how it ends because it's all on the rest of the page, but it's a process. Now, before I talk about this paragraph, paragraph 1 on this page gives us very straightforward, cautionary directions to do this type of amend. Now, let's see, you know, and if we're going to talk about the problem here. So now it says, while drinking, all right, he did wrongdoings. Of course. Now, this was not a mistake in his on his part. He did it. He did it, and he did it on purpose because he didn't like this guy. So the best thing for him to build himself up was to gossip and not tell the truth about another member. This is what I see here. And so now, if he really cautionarily did the directions, we're going to see what happens at the end here, because he really looks like, you know, he really has to be willing to go to any length. Isn't that what we did to come being afraid? But, you know, what the real direction for me that I heard is not only doing these four or five directions, but we have to, I must, ask God to help with this drastic step, if this was indicated, because we can ask our sponsor, which we should do. We could ask other people, especially, you know, the consequences of this type of amends might be severe. So we have to always ask God. I know it says first, it says ask God to help, you know, is one of the five things. And we must not be afraid and say, nope, I can't do this. Because we will find when we ask God and we really sincerely want to set things right, God will give the results, you know. And that's important here. So, yeah, he did it all to build himself up. You know, he wasn't going to. And, you know, one of the strongest emotions in my life, and because I'm, you know, my compulsive overeating too, my character defects, was gossip, was jealousy, was, well, you know, she doesn't do this, so therefore I'm going to be the judge. So we have to watch that. So this is quite a story. So he didn't do it by mistake. It says here, he did it for his own wrongdoing. He wanted to destroy the reputation of another because he felt, you know, he was superior. And he just didn't like this guy. And he did ruin. Okay, he did ruin. So he's between a hard rock, between a rock and a hard place, what he's going to do. But character assassination is probably the worst type of defect that I could have. And to discredit somebody else. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. But before I do, I'll remind everyone that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Nancy LJ, California.
Nancy LJ.
RMD, California.
Roz G.
Who else was from
Terry
California?
Z, California?
What is it, Terry?
Sherry, like the wine.
Sherry Z in California. Okay, and I got Roz.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Colorado. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with this lineup. Nancy LJ, Sherry Z, Roz G, and Wendy M. Please go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Nancy LJ, gratefully recovered in California. I don't know about anybody else, but going over step nine for me, I've been thinking a lot just about the past, you know, and not obsessing on it. But this morning when I woke up and I read the paragraph we were going to study, just was kind of thinking about, grateful that I take care not to harm people anymore. I mean, how huge is that? And there's things, you know, that I have, nothing I could think of that I haven't made amends or living amends for, talked about, but they're so uncomfortable to think about, you know. And I shared with another fellow the other day, I'm so grateful I had a seasoned discerning sponsor. When I was working out, who am I going to make amends to? What am I going to say? There was, because, you know, I thought I owed the world an amends for breathing, you know, at that time. And she just guided me. And there was things she said, no. You don't need to make amends for that, you know. And just so grateful for that discernment. And I remember when I was doing my fourth step, I was trying to guide my fourth step thinking about the amends, because I'm like, oh boy, I don't want to bring that up because I want to see that person. But thank God I had the wherewithal to talk to my sponsor about those thoughts. And she set me straight. She said, just write, put the pen down on the paper, you know, write it down. And so she just lovingly guided me through the process. And I just wanted to say, I'm just, oh, thank God for this program. Thank you for this program leading to me, to my higher power, who's just guiding me that I don't harm people anymore. And if I do, I handle it like the book tells me to do. But thankfully, there's nothing so far so good, nothing serious in the last 14 years or so. And I'm so grateful for that with just everything. So one more little thing. Today I picked up my big book. Somebody mentioned this in a meeting the other day, and it's literally falling apart. And this has just happened in the last 2 years when I started at Vision. How beautiful is that? I'm just going to duct tape the sucker because I love all my notes in here. And this Vision for You meeting has just been instrumental in my recovery. So any of welcome, and keep coming back, because a paragraph a day keeps the doctor away. All right. Thank you so much, Nancy LJ.
Thank you so much, Nancy LJ from California. Sherry Z, it's your turn.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone, or good afternoon and good evening. I'm Sherry Z in California, working the steps anew. So step 9 was the game changer for me in Vision, because I had never worked in 30 plus years, a step 9, the way I worked it in Vision, and it was brutal. But I'm noticing that this paragraph, I've got everything highlighted and note taken, and I basically, this paragraph was kind of empty. Like, it had a little pink warning at the end of like, but I realized in reading it today that I discredited people because I wanted to feel superior, because I felt inferior. And I would do it not in, I didn't highlight the story because I didn't identify in, but today I do identify in, because I thought, my God, what he did is so extreme. My God. But that's me identifying out. Me identifying in is, I just credit people, you know, every time I want to feel better than them, holier than thou, greater than them, because I don't feel God's love, and I don't feel like I'm enough. And today, I'm very conscious of when I exaggerate, even in the smallest of ways, because I don't want to discredit God. I want to be very honest, and I want to use this incident as a basis for actually honoring others, right? It's so deep, and I find that the longer I'm in these rooms, the more I uncover. So this was a paragraph that had no meaning for me, and today it has tremendous meaning. It's, how can I stay among the herd? How can I not need to feel better or worse than? How do I need to not over-apologize or exaggerate, but just stay level and be a part of the group? That's the task God's asking me to do today, so that I can recover and be well and be a human among humans. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Roz G, it's your turn.
All right. Good morning. And thank you for letting me share today. I've waited a week. So I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the city, a county of Los Angeles. And I just think that God is so on point with me because I am on steps 8 and 9 right now. I'm redoing the steps. And my sponsor and I just had a talk yesterday about my 3 core character defects at this point in my life, at the age of 61. And they are envy, jealousy, and gossip. You know, today I'm not starting fights with people. I'm not talking back to people. I'm not, just out and out stealing or ripping off, but the inner ones, the envy, the jealousy, and the gossip are core character defects. And, they make me, when I do that, I feel better about myself. Actually, envy and jealousy, I don't. But when I was a little girl, my eldest sister always did everything right in my perception and in my parents' perception, and I could not ever measure up. And so my way of dealing with the feelings was to be envious and jealous, and that's how that's how I feel always. It's like I'm tired of it, just like with overeating. I'm tired of being jealous and envious of people. It's just tiring and exhausting. And so what is really behind all that? Fear that I'm not enough and fear that I'm not going to get what I want. And God says, I have everything you need. I have everything that you would want, Roz, if you would turn to me instead of angry, jealousy, and bitterness. And so what am I doing about it? I have a little a thing that I'm doing. It comes right out of the fear prayer. God, oops, I'm feeling envious and jealousy. Why? Because I'm fearful I'm not going to get this. Please turn my attention to who I could help. What would you have me to do and be? I'm telling you, that is so hard. And when I get the temptation to gossip about somebody, I got to do the same thing. God, here I'm in a situation where I could, rip somebody a new hole and they're not even in my presence. Please help me. Because I just think that's just not godly. It's not how God would want me to be. How could I be trusted? I can't. So I'm working on all that. Sponsorship helps me to keep my mouth shut. But this is, I always use an excuse. Well, they're not here. They're not, oh, my God. So I'm on day 2 of this practice, and it has came out of a step work and the big book. So I don't know if I'll get it perfectly. I won't. But I'm counting days on not gossiping, being envious or jealous. And when it crops up, I pray. I turn to God. And then I turn to somebody that I can help. So I hope that that's helpful to somebody, and I pass. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Wendy M., it's your turn.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Jody, so good to hear you on the line. Thanks for your service. So there seems to be a theme here. So how do I harm people? Well, I have, not anymore, but I had been, resenting my sister my whole life until about 9 days ago when I made amends and God took care of it. Thank you, God. So what is gossip to me? Gossip is like for nice girls. Like, I'm a nice girl, so gossiping is no one will know. And it's sort of a quiet way of really stealing, right? I think of gossip as, first of all, a big fat lie. And then it's taking, it's stealing, right? I'm taking from her reputation. And I remember like doing it and going, this doesn't feel right, but I'm going in. Because when I gossip, it's sort of like 8 seconds of delicious. It's just like picking up the food. It's like grazing for a little bit and then knowing, that doesn't feel right. Something's wrong there. I mean, the design for living here is that God says that my selfishness will kill me. He makes it possible. That is amazing, right? That God says, you know what? This is uncomfortable. Thank God it's uncomfortable. Thank God gossiping is uncomfortable. So yeah, that's kind of like, I call it like gossip that's like harm-like, you know, just it's kind of a little bit of a, you know, character assassination. And it means that I take zero responsibility for myself, right? I take no responsibility. I'm not accountable, you know, and that's, and I'm not humble and I'm not kind and all of that. And so it finally got so uncomfortable that I stopped doing it again, because God makes that possible. Page 62 of Selfishness Will Kill Us. And the other thing I would say is that this defect of mine, of just, I was like compulsive, you guys. I just compulsively had to trash her every chance I got. Because it was my passive aggressive way of getting at somebody. You know, I'll show her, you know, I'll get away with this, right? That kind of thing. But I also like to say our defects get in the way of our assignment. And the assignment is beautiful. The assignment that we're here to do God's will, God's assignment. I can't do that when I'm gossiping. I can't do that when I'm stealing, when I'm taking away the reputation of another human being. And it feels awful. And that's the recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy from Colorado, Wendy M. Okay, although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We are on page 80, the second paragraph. Who else would like to share?
Britt V., New Mexico.
Britt V., New Mexico.
Janice K.
Polly Q.
Janice K., Polly Q. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? Page 80, paragraph 2. Don't be shy. The water is warm, as we say. Anyone is welcome to share. No abstinence requirement. We just ask that you share on the topic.
Judith R.
Judith R. Okay, great. All right. Let's go with that group. Britt Z., Janice K., Polly Q., and Judith R. Please take it away, Britt.
Hello, my name is Britt V. I'm in New Mexico. This paragraph really struck me because I'm thinking about this person that's being depicted, and he seems to have a very low opinion of himself. I mean, the fact that he would go after a bitterly hated business rival and that he would try to discredit this person, it says a lot about him and his feelings about himself. And I immediately began to think of my worst core defect, which is self-seeking, and the people that I was most resentful at before going through the 12 steps several years ago and now being gratefully recovered compulsive overeater was the people who raised me. And because I was neglected and abused, and I was so, so resentful, and I would portray it as if nothing good had ever happened. And that was discrediting them, and that was indulging in self-seeking. And it really was a lie. And now through the 12 steps, I understand that acceptance is the answer to all my problems. And once I could accept that, yeah, there was neglect and there was abuse, but there was also occasionally times when they were kind. There were times when they did provide for us. There were times when the abuse would stop for a few weeks and we would have a reprieve. And I'm so grateful to the 12 steps because I'm now able to look at the people who raised me as being flawed human beings just like me, doing the best that they could, just like I do,
And it's brought me tremendous peace. And thanks to the help of the God of my understanding, every day I am able to pray for them and to wish them well and to meditate upon their happiness and their safety and their peace. And I'm free of that burden. It is the greatest gift of my life, and I owe it all to God and to the 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Britt Z from New Mexico. Janice K, go ahead.
Hi, this is Janice K in Oregon. I don't know why this paragraph just leaped at me this morning, because I have never accepted a sum of money from a business, hated business. But boy, have I hated people. And have I have totally spent time belittling and discrediting others in my heart. And I know what a bitter, bitter load that is to carry. And I also know that step nine, unfortunately, step nine never ends, because the amend I make to the people I resent, I harm, I hate, is that I have to accept whatever they are, and I have to pray for their welfare. And I have to pray, and I have to ask God simply to make me not them anymore. Because hating someone to the point of being willing to discredit them means that I am them in some way. The people I resent the most are the people who are most like me. It's a hard load to carry. Step nine does not end. I will never be rid of the burden of releasing bigger bits, because my core defects, I'm afraid, are always going to be there. My core defects are selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, especially the dishonesty and fear. The amend I make is to become not the person who hurt them. So if the problem was hating someone silently and seeking there to discredit them, I have to become a person who supports and who acknowledges what good person the other individual may do. I know this is kind of disorganized and disjointed, but take what you like and leave the rest. The making of amends makes me into someone who can no longer commit that offense. And sometimes I think it's the work of a lifetime, surrendering the willingness to indulge in that kind of anger and viciousness. I can only say, I am not who I want to be. I'm not who I will be. Thank God, I'm not who I was. Yes.
Thank you very much, Janice K. from Oregon. Polly Q.
Hi. Thank you, moderator, for your service. This is Polly Q, recovered in Northern California, one day at a time. I really appreciated I have really appreciated the shares. Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-seeking. That is the basis of my ego-based thinking. And as long as I'm a spirit having a human experience, that is exactly where I'm going to go. It's just first thought wrong a lot of times. I have to challenge myself. And I can, for the first time I'm reading this, see what happened here is that this person justified his actions because he lied to himself. He could not, he had to justify it. So the lie, the lie got in there. And pretty soon his ego said, well, he deserves it. He lied to me. Look what he did to me. And that's how it goes. That's still how it goes today. So in my household right now, and it has been this way, me and my adult son, with my grandchild and my adult son and his, and my daughter-in-law. And I have to say that it's been rough going here in this very shaky world that we live in right now. Now, I don't care why you think it's shaky or you don't think it's shaky. It's in my household, it's shaky. And and my son and I do not agree on a lot of the things. And I thought, well, that's okay. And I'm going to do the traditions, and I'm going to do the steps. I'm going to do 10 steps on it. 10 steps. Oh, my goodness. It's allowed me. It's allowed all of us to live together because I'll go to battle in a second if I am not working this program diligently. And what happens is that at some point, I'm like, why? Why can't we get over this? Why can't we get past this thing? And I realized something this week that I've never occurred to me. Never. In the last 3 years has never occurred to me that maybe I'm not right about this. Maybe my thinking is a little more distorted than it appeared. Maybe this isn't just an opinion. Maybe this is at the core of my character defect that doesn't allow me to accept people, places, and things for who they are, and opinions as well. And that has been a mind-blowing experience in the last 2 weeks. It has changed everything, and it has allowed me to do something. I'm just going to finish this up here, to use neutrality around my thoughts to detach in a way that I haven't before. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Polly Q from Northern California. Judith R., it's your turn.
Thank you, Jody. This is Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. I'm really in shock this morning. I'm not sure how to talk about it, but I'm in shock about a friend's death, and I'm in shock to realize that although all these years I thought that I was one of the few people on Earth who didn't gossip, I got on this morning and I heard people talking about gossiping, and I was like, oh, wait, I think this has been dawning on me for a few months maybe from the step work, but I was so proud of myself that I was not one of those people who would say, oh, did you see her hair, or, stupid stuff like that, but I would talk about deep things that were part of another person's life. So I'm in shock because it's like higher power is showing, what do you know? You're one of the regular people who does the regular things that regular human beings do. Just when I was about to get on, I got a text that a friend had died, and I was just like, but wait, we just prayed for him. He was going to get better. So that was my first shock, and that's why I missed the reading. But this reading about the man getting up in church is one of my favorites in the whole book. It just, how courageous. And may I be that courageous in making amends for the sort of hidden, at least to myself, kind of gossip that I was doing. Thanks for listening, family.
Thank you for sharing. Judith R. from Vermont. Okay, we have time for two or three more shares. We're on page 80, paragraph 2. It begins.
Ann B. from New York.
Who's that?
Ann B. New York.
Ann B. Gotcha, Ann.
Maya, New York.
Maya, New York. Maybe one more. Okay, we'll go with those two. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann B. from Westchester United in a group in New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 20 years. I realize it's I haven't specifically done what this person did in the story, but I do realize it's very easy when I don't like someone to believe negative things about them. And sometimes it's political, too. You know, it's really easy to just on social media repeat something bad about someone without really looking it up, checking to see if it's true. And I think, first of all, I should always be very careful about repeating something negative about someone unless it's absolutely necessary. And second, if I do repeat something negative about somebody, I really need to look at, do I really know this is true? And have I checked with credible sources who actually really know something, as opposed to sources that are themselves just gossip sources? And generally, and I had this happen in a meeting recently, you know, in OA, a business meeting, where somebody said something negative about somebody else in program. And I have not heard that other person's side of the story. And I have to be very careful in a business meeting not to necessarily buy a negative story about someone until I've heard their side. So I'll pass.
Thank you so much. And that was Ann B. from New York. Maya, please go ahead. Maya, press star one.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I thought I was muted before. This is Maya K. from New York. Compulsive overeater and bulimic, spelled M-A-I-J-A. And I guess I kind of relate to the paragraph just in general to speaking badly of people or in general, just things that have been going on around me. And I just wrote a two-way prayer before trying to deal with how to deal with I've heard other people share about being angry at people and not wanting to feel that way. And I asked God, like, what do you want me to know? And how do I deal with this? And how do I see people the way you see them? And then, you know, I didn't grow up religious, but I hear that one saying, which is like, for God, like God said in my two-way prayer to, you know, forgive them, they do not forgive them, they do not see what they, I think I wrote it down even, forgive them, they know not what they do. And how many times have I looked back and realized, oh my gosh, how many times have I done that? I didn't know what I was doing when I was, you know, I didn't, like, why was I lying, or why was I stealing, or why was I doing something bad, or I didn't have a clear reason, you know, or eating when I knew I didn't want to eat. I didn't, like, forgive me, I didn't know why I was doing it, or did evil things, like, when I was younger. Why? Forgive me, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I can't give you a clear explanation, so that's the only way I can see stuff sometimes, and I just have to accept right now, as hard as it is, you know, right now I'm just trying to deal, because sometimes things look so big and I don't understand them. So right now, you know, I'm just trying to pray and deal with things. So that's where I am right now, and I just needed to share because I haven't shared in a long time. And I'm really hanging in there and sticking with my, you know, boundaries with everything, and I'm grateful that I'm not, you know, craving my alcoholic foods, and that's it. I thank you so much for everybody being here.
Thank you very much, Maya K. from New York. We have time for a 1.5 minute share.
Karen Casey in Missouri.
CT.
Karen
Casey, please, for 1 minute.
Okay. Hi, this is Karen Casey in Missouri. I'm so grateful for all the shares today, because it really, sometimes these paragraphs don't jump out at me, but what people shared, this whole character assassination, this whole ruining people's reputation, that is a huge defect of mine. And I'm always reminded that, you know, before I speak, I need to ask, is it kind? Is it loving? Is it helpful? Is it what God would have me say? And that whole thing about our program is pause, ask before I speak. And I'm really going to take this to heart today, and I'm going to do this better, because God wants us to support and encourage and lift each other up, not tear each other and ourselves down. So anyway, with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne SCH please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Jody. This is Anne SCH in British Columbia, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you can find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.